The only thing missing on that is Brother Herbie didn't have his harmonica out there. If we'd have had that, we'd have him all covered this morning. But I have two things to share with you today, folks. Two things to share. First of all, if you'd like to, I'm going to turn to the book of St. Mark. I'm going to read from the 11th chapter. The wonderful story of triumph. A wonderful story of how everything would change in a week. That's what this story begins with. Palm Sunday is nothing more than we recognize as Jesus entered into that city. He did not enter as many thought he would. He didn't enter with all the triumph and the big sounds and the big band and everybody. No, he entered very humbly. He entered riding a small colt. A small colt. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered in, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord hath need of it.'" The Lord hath need of it. "And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said, "What are you doing, loosening the colt?" And they spake unto them as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. When they had brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. A wonderful, triumphant entry into the city. Events would take place in the week to come. Events would take place from such a humble. Jesus tried his best to come in a little under the radar, but that wasn't going to happen. Because people knew that the Son of God was here among them. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they took clothes and laid out. They took these branches that we have represented, and hopefully those of you have a palm leaf there somewhere to take with you today. It looks beautiful when you're standing up here and you see this, and Gay and Janet and Nancy or whoever we can blame for all this, they've done their jobs over here. This is how the week began. Then the events of the week would change. There would be a trial, a farce of a trial. There would be accusation after accusation against the one who committed no sin. On Friday, there would be the saddest day of all, when our Lord was crucified. There would be prayers in the garden. Prayers so intense that instead of tears, blood would come. There would be those who would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be those who would make promises. But the Lord knew that before that rooster cries out the third time, "You will deny me, you will deny me." Jesus knew exactly what choices he was making. But we know that that story does not end on Friday. One of the greatest sermons that I ever heard. It's one of those sermons where the phrase keeps repeating over and over again. The sermon consisted of, on Friday, they gambled for his clothes. But Sunday's coming. The sermon speaks about how on Friday they nailed him to a cross, but Sunday's coming. On Friday, they whipped him with lashes, the cat o' nine tails, but Sunday is coming. And towards the end of that sermon, everyone in that congregation was simply, Sunday's coming. And what a moving message it was. Because this story does not end on Friday. We look forward to Sunday. We look forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the dewdrop nestles in the rosebud. And the morning sun chased away the dark clouds of the night. They went to the tomb and it was empty. Amen? Amen. That's where the story is going to. Today you have in front of you these palm leaves. And as the prayer requests have already been made, I hope you take one of those. And wherever you go to and somebody asks you, what in the world do you have there? Tell them. Share with them the wonderful gift that you have received only because of your faith in God. On Wednesday, when we flew out that morning, and I need to thank Matt. I need to thank, I can't see him out there, where they're at. Oh, here we go. I need to thank Barbara back there. I need to thank Matt, thank Barbara over there. I need to thank Miss Ruby for taking care of the fort. I wasn't here, but I heard good things. People were texting me, said it was a good service. It was a good service. It was good. It is wonderful when that you feel that you're in the place where God wants you to be. When we got the word last Sunday morning about the events that absolutely no one expected, the toughest thing I did today was walking in that office, and there was no coffee cup sitting on my desk. Rich would always bring his coffee cup in, set it on the desk. Keys would be in there somewhere, because most likely by the end of the day he would lose both of them. And I would go in always before I locked the office up and say, Rich, keys, coffee. No coffee cup in that office this morning. When we had the opportunity to walk in on Wednesday night, just getting there in town, the connecting flights that we got leaving early on Wednesday, and by the time we drove from Dallas to Lindale, Texas, we got there about 5. The viewing was starting at 6. As we walked in, we were greeted with handshakes, with hugs, with smiles. People would come up to us and say, you're the preacher I've heard so much about. You're the individual that Rich had so many good things to say about. Man, how it made us feel. For those and the music, and trust me, friends, you have wonderful musicians here at Mount Calvary Community Church. You have no idea. It's true. Right? And the way we normally do, we walked in and said, okay, we're going to do this. I like the small town of Texas that we went into because Jeff, the cousin that runs the funeral home is also the mayor of the town. We've arrived in Texas. And when he handed me a blank sheet of paper and he says, okay, you're the man. What are we going to do tomorrow? He says, I've got some songs that the family has asked for, and I'd also thought that we'd have some people share. And you know how it is usually in the funeral. Sometimes it's difficult to get people to get up and share. And he says, I have five names here already written down. He says, I'm stopping it at five. Because everybody that's here and will be here tomorrow could stand up and say something positive about Brother Rich. We shared with so many things, and we began with Rich explaining about how he had met his, did you get need one more? Right there, on the set. We started off with, in chronological order, about Brother Rich, about how he had met Doug back in the mid to late 80s over there, and how they'd shared together, Rich and the Coast Guard. And we had pictures from him on ships that he'd served, and oh, it was wonderful. Then we had Chris, who got up and shared about all the recognition that Rich had received in his Coast Guard. We got amens coming both sides. I like it. Then we had Joe Douglas, who got up and shared a bit from Unisys, where Rich had worked at, and about how he was so highly regarded in his job. And we all know the stories that Rich would tell here from the pulpit about things and struggles and difficulties he had within the events of the job here in the last year, year and a half. And Rich and I had conversations over in my office, and I love conversations with Rich. They consisted of him talking, me listening. Those of you who have been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And everybody at that funeral knew exactly what we were talking about. And you loved it. You just loved it. And then a grandniece got up and shared about how Rich was so family-oriented. Then finally, a great-grandniece, only 19 years old, started to share. And she began by sharing, Rich is the one who led me to Christ. Wow. Tears were in her eyes as she was sharing, because Rich was scheduled to perform the wedding. She's engaged to get married in June. Rich was scheduled to perform that wedding. And she shared. And trust me, folks, there was not a dry eye in the place. Then I got to share with about Pastor Rich, about the things that he meant to hear us at Mount Calvary. I shared personal things that he and I did, so many events that I was privileged to have enjoyed, from boat trips to cruises to calling him the day of a concert because there were $25 tickets to see the Eagles. And then he and I and Barbara singing Desperado. And then Rich and I getting into conversation of what does Hotel California really mean? That took place. Then I shared the things not only that we did, but I shared the work that we did together. Rich did whatever I asked him to do. Plain and simple. If you want to understand what it means to be a servant, look at those who are willing to do what you ask them to do. And I shared with them the last official responsibility Rich had as they were downstairs making the lasagna meal, and how the gentlemen stood across the front, how they had their wonderful aprons, and how that Rich, being so politically correct, read a disclaimer to get all the ladies to sign. Remember that? Because as it says in the disclaimer, things will happen. And also in that disclaimer, I love the part where he says, tips will not only be appreciated, they are expected. Remember that part? And what did those tips consist of? They consisted of hugs. They consisted of comments. And also they consisted of that precious kiss on the cheek. Remember that? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. These are words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. Basically, it was his farewell. I have finished the fight. I have kept the faith. I have run this race well. I didn't know today how to tie it all in, but it seems to me that it's very appropriate when you read the scripture about Palm Sunday, and especially that phrase saying that if the Lord hath need. For some reason, it was God's will that he take Brother Rich home with him last Sunday. Richard talked to me about the next phase of his life, things that he wanted to do, how it was going to be a change. Little did I know the change that would happen. There was probably no individual that I've known in my life that was more ready for heaven than old Brother Rich. Talked about it. His Bible was worn, folks. It was worn. There was no greater missionary-minded individual, Brother Rich. He was the kind of Christian that I liked because he knew how to live life. He was always there for the party. Always there for the celebration. Always there to simply live life to the fullest. But at the same time, always, always grounded in the Word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I want you to listen to this phrase. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where did Rich find his strength? In God's word and the sharing of that strength. I challenge you today. This is a wonderful time of year to share our faith. You're not going to shove anything down anybody's throat that they don't want to hear. There are people that are simply crying out to be treated warmly, to be treated with compassion, to be treated with love. And about, I think it's 3 weeks, 4 weeks from today, I believe it is, on the 21st of April, God willing, if everything works out well, Barbara will be flying here with children, some of the kids, relatives. We will dedicate that morning service on the 21st to Brother Rich. Hopefully we're going to get the pictures. Once you see these pictures, you're going to love them. It's just amazing. After that, God willing, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to have a meal. Somewhere in that meal, we'll have potato salad. Because that is one thing that Rich and I talked about. We said, brother, you and I, one of us will be doing the funeral for the other. And Rich says, well, don't forget the potato salad. I remember that one. But the thing that I want to impress upon you, that the man of God may be complete. So I want you to be just full of prayer for the family. I believe that God in His wisdom has allowed everything to happen according to His will. I was never so warmly greeted down there, as I told you before. And there when we got to the end of the funeral, we did something I'd never done before. All the funerals I've done in my life, at some time the casket would be closed, and that they had it open for the viewing, but then that morning they came and the casket was closed. And at the end of the service, Jeff and his wife, Robin, who the mayor and his wife, the funeral director, they came down, they opened the casket up. And first of all, friends came down, paid their last respects to an open casket as I stood by the head of it. Pallbearers came through, and then immediate family came by, leaned over with warm kisses on the cheek, with just a touch. They said their goodbye, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, Rich was not there. Gone on to a place of no pain, no sorrow. Gone on to this place that we preach about, that we sing about, that we testify about. Our purpose for being here in church is simply to share the hope of glory. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We went to the gravesite. It was beautiful. My part of the interment was very short. And Rich, for his 31 years of service, the honor guard was there. They came and so meticulously just folded that flag beautifully. The wind was blowing out there at the gravesite, but they handled it perfectly. The three soldiers and their honor guard with their rifles, as they shot three times. Then the one who picked up the empty shells and brought them back, placed them within the flag, representing the honor and the courage and the dedication, and that flag was presented to Barbara. I lost it. I'd done good up until then, but I lost it, folks. Not that I didn't know where Rich was. Not that I didn't know where Rich wanted to be. Not that I wasn't celebrating a life lived for the glory of God. I lost it because of the personal loss that I was feeling. And the tears flowed, and the healing began. The healing began. It's Palm Sunday. It's a time of celebration. I encourage each one of you to share this grace message that each of us have been given. Our joy, our strength stands in our faith in God. We're going to do a few things around the church in memory of Rich, and I'll fill you in on those a little bit later. And hopefully all these things will take place as God would have them. You simply remember the family. And there is nothing that you could do better to bring honor to that name of Jesus, than to share the love of God with those in need. Nothing would make Rich Barb happier than somebody sharing the good news, the good news. Last Sunday, we did something we've never done before. Little Franny brought in candy. Little did we know, when we got up and prayed for Rich, he was already gone. He was already in the arms of Jesus. And we never hand out candy. I said, we'll do a reverse offering. We're going to give you candy instead of you giving money to start with. We never do that on a Sunday morning. That was Rich's job. The sign, when those of you came early, was blank on this side for the first time that I've seen it in the 30, well, I'm getting weak up here when I start thinking about these 30. I was about a year old when I came to Mount Calvary. In the 30-some years that I've been here, that sign never blanked till last Sunday morning. Why? Because Craig and Lydia, and Craig was so concerned about getting, I got to get the letters up on the sign before Rich gets back. Well, the wind was blowing so hard, we were afraid we were going to damage the sign. It got a little kink in the sign of it out there. I said, look, we'll just leave it. We'll do it on Sunday. We handed out candy. That was Rich's job. And that sign was blank. That was Rich's job last Sunday. So in my mind, in my heart, he left Texas and made a little stop up here in Northern Virginia to say hi to us. Candy and a sign blank. I have great memories. Great joy. Please share the love of God this week. Let's all bow our heads at this time. Heavenly Father, we've come.